Well, it's been quite a 12-hour period for the Rays. Tiffany's sister, Brittany, younger sister right there, and her kids came to hang out with us this week. And, of course, if you've known me for very long, you know it doesn't take much for me to get excited and amped up. So last night, I and the kids and Tiffany were all excited, and it was a late night of the kids hanging out. It was really, really fun. Had a great time. We're looking forward to this week. Many of you, as well, have family coming in, or you're traveling to see family. Many have already gone. We're spending the spring break away, so we trust this is really a great work for you, week for you. We also want to say thank you to those of you who prayed for us staff retreat this week. It was really a great time together. We ended the last night with communion as a staff. We've never done that before. We've been here almost 9 years, and that was the first time we got to experience that in that setting together. It was really a beautiful way to end it. Communion, worship, prayer. And God is definitely doing some great things. We looked at the past year with the first launch of our multi-site campus and talked through the things that went well, the things we thought were challenging, and we looked ahead at the next year, some changes we can make to make that better, and then some of the things that we believe God has in store for our church family. So it was really a great time. So I wanted to say thank you for the entire staff for doing that for us. Today's going to be a little different. As you know, there are times in worship when we stand and we read an entire passage before we actually dive in. Today, we're going to take it by chunks, so we're not going to spend time reading the entire passage. We're going to do that as we go. Also, all of the points are going to be at the end. They're going to come in a flurry, and so if we're 15 minutes in and you haven't heard me read a point yet or say a point, don't get nervous. They come fast, so have your pens ready at the end because we're going to fly through those. In the fall of 1991, my parents, Grandma and I headed from Wichita, Kansas to Bolivar, Missouri, Southwest Baptist University. So I was getting ready to attend classes there. I had finished my associate's degree at Wichita State. I was really excited about the transition. So first day, walked on campus, went to the admissions office. I spent time meeting some different people in that place, and they said, "We've got your housing arranged. Let's go take a look." And so it was an off-campus apartment. Walked up, the guy that was with us opened up the door, and no kidding, out runs a malnourished cat who had apparently been in that apartment for weeks, because when we walked in, it smelled like a cat had lived there for weeks. Instantly, my parents, "There is no way in the universe you're staying here." And so immediately, the guy that was with us kind of backed up a little bit, and we went back to the admissions office. I got reassigned to a dorm. So that kind of took some time we didn't expect. Then we headed to Walmart, you know, friendly Walmart in Bolivar, the hub of the city, and got the things that I needed to be able to make it through my first month or so before I went home to visit. Went back, and I still remember seeing my parents drive off in my grandma's van for the last time into the sunset. My parents said off and on the way home, they cried, and, "Well, we're losing our baby son, and he's never going to come live at home," which actually came about. Now, some of you wish that would happen for your kids. You give them the boot and say it's time to hit the road. But for my parents, it was a little bit different. The first couple of days were pretty tough, to be honest. I was, in many respects, alone. Didn't know a soul. Very lonely. And so it was challenging for me when I'd call my parents to try to have the voice of, "I'm doing great," when the reality was it was very difficult for me. Until I met an RA who became a quick friend and is still a friend to this day. For those of you who are parents or went to college, you may have experienced something similar. The aloneness that's there from being separated by distance. Even if you have not had that experience, all of us in the room at one point or another have experienced being alone and the loneliness that comes with it. Well, today our passage, John 14, 15 through 31, you can turn your Bibles there, deals specifically with that topic. First several verses of John 14 paint for us a scene of growing concern from the disciples. They understood that Jesus was about to be taken in death, and he wanted to calm them down so they would see that his death would make way for all to have a relationship with him. They would be given that opportunity, but knowing Christ was about to leave was leaving them with a sense of isolation, being alone. Knowing that, Christ began to speak directly to their fear. Look at verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We are told here that if we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. So obedience is a running theme that goes throughout this entire passage. We are also told that if we surrender our lives to Jesus, we will have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with us, who exclusively and intimately speaks into the lives of believers. And this should bring us a great amount of joy and comfort, as it did the disciples. Jesus then goes on to say this, verses 18 through 21, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while with the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In verses 18 through 20, Jesus is pointing to the resurrection. He will come to them because he will rise from the dead. And at his resurrection, he will not appear to everyone, solely to, in this moment, the disciples. Why? To confirm in their hearts that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. But then this, to prove that he is in them and they are in him. So he is saying that his resurrection will confirm a connection between they and the Father. And Jesus teaches them this in an effort to show that they will never truly be alone. He then returns to the importance of obedience and adds something that is very important. The obedience to the commands of Jesus is the key to experiencing Jesus. Again in verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So whoever does that, whoever obeys his commands, he manifests, makes known himself to them. So he's reminding them they wouldn't be alone. He was showing them a helper would be there, the Holy Spirit, who would empower them to be obedient. He would rise from the grave to prove his connection with them, but their duty was to obey. So obedience is the key to not feeling abandoned by God. Have you ever felt abandoned by him? If we're struggling with that or struggling with an aloneness, the reality is that if we are followers of Jesus, though at times we feel we are alone, because you know as well as I do, our emotions can lie to us, we are never truly alone. The same was true for his disciples. So he asks one of them in verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, Judas was asking how Jesus was only going to show himself to them. Well, he answers the question in verses 23 through 26. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What he says here is very simple. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will call to mind for followers of Jesus his teaching so they can obey him. And if they obey him, they will experience a connection with God that is real and powerful. He's telling them once again that the measure of love is obedience, and in obedience we experience the very presence of God. But there are moments when we choose disobedience and sin. We once again buy into the lie that sin will actually bring freedom into our lives. But the truth is that sin buries, isolates us, and binds us. None are alone in that struggle. If you'll recall in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, Paul talks about the struggle between the spirit and the flesh, arguably the strongest believer that ever walked the planet. And if he struggled with that as well, the battle between the flesh and the spirit, choosing the spirit over the flesh, we too will experience it. In that war, we can decide, are we going to listen to the spirit and do as Hebrews 12:1 says, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with perseverance? Or are we going to decide to sin? If we decide sin is a better route, we must know that it traps and produces isolation. But choosing to obey the Spirit frees us, producing community and relationship between us and God. Romans 6, 1-2 is very clear as well. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? You'd think after following Jesus for 31 years of my life, I would get it. Sin is not a great root. Sin produces bad things in my life. But for whatever reason, at times, points, I still cave and I sin. And I deal with that. Isolation. Romans 8, 1-2 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in those moments when I do sin, if I deal with it, confess, repent, receive God's forgiveness, I'm able to walk once again with him in the way he's called me to. And I don't have to be buried by the condemnation, the things that weigh on me from the past that sin. Does that mean that there won't be consequences? No, there are consequences when we sin. But the condemnation of that is gone if we truly hold on to 1 John that says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and 1 John 1:9 with it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. A lot of times, honestly, it's more difficult for us to forgive ourselves and to release God to show forgiveness to us because we want to stand in condemnation. But God calls us out of that. For the law of spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:1-2. We are called to be free. And then John 8:31-32 says, so Jesus said to the disciples, to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in me, in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If we walk in freedom, in absence of sin, then we experience the real presence of God, and the Holy Spirit does great things. He has called us to be free. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Fear, then, is from the flesh and from the enemy. We can, then, if we walk in confidence without fear or in all honesty, the lie that we are never at points able to experience the true presence of God, then we can walk fresh, new, alive, and never alone. In so doing, we can clearly hear the Holy Spirit as he speaks directly into our lives. The disciples were buckling with fear. We have left everything to follow you, and now you are leaving us. How can we navigate life without you? The thought of Jesus leaving was absolutely frightening. And we can understand how they were feeling because we too are often gripped with fear. One of the most significant areas of fear for followers of Jesus is sharing their faith with others. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories from my own life. The first one was a time when I really blew it. Several months ago, I was in Walmart and I walked up and was in line. There was, of course, Walmart is the running theme of the message. It's so funny. It's just the place to be, I suppose. So I walked up, had my groceries, put them on the conveyor belt. They're going through, and I felt impressed to buy the person's groceries behind me. By the way, Tiffany loves it when those happen. Okay, what happened to our grocery bill? Well, you see, Tiffany, here it is. So I felt impressed by that. Thank heavens he didn't have very many groceries. Just kidding. It wasn't a massive amount. And I felt impressed to buy them, and not only buy them, but in that moment, share with them about why I was buying them. Listen, I want to tell you, I am purchasing these groceries for you because I'm a follower of Jesus, because God loves you and he has a great plan for your life and he wants to do amazing and incredible things. That's what I felt led to say. So what did I do? I'd like to buy that person's groceries. You're doing what? I'm buying your groceries. Okay. Goes through. Okay, blessings. See you later. And I walked out. I got in the car and I looked in the rear view and I said, you big chicken, you were supposed to not only buy the groceries, but tell the reason you were buying them. So I blew it. Then I tried to rationalize in my mind, okay, I bought the groceries. That in itself was good enough obedience, right, God? And I knew it wasn't. So I had to ask forgiveness for not following through with what I felt like the Spirit was telling me to do. Opportunity blown. Okay, fast forward a couple of months. Price Chopper. Oh boy, Tiffany's getting excited. Walk up, and it wasn't a grocery purchasing moment. I walked up, and it was a cashier. It was early Saturday morning, and she was there, and I could tell something was wrong. You know, sometimes you walk up to a cashier, and you can just tell something's off. But a lot of times, to be honest, it's easier just to say, have a good day, and walk off and not ask any questions because you never know what someone's going to tell you. So instead, I walked up. Hey, how are you doing today? Well, not so good. Late in her late 40s, early 50s. I said, oh yeah, what's going on? Well, my dad's in the hospital and it doesn't look like he's going to make it. I've got some illness and we've got some other things that are happening and it's not good. Okay, boom, bomb drop. All right, what am I going to do with this? Standing in the middle of Price Chopper, she's unloading this in about 30 seconds when she's pushing my items through. Am I going to be obedient to the Spirit or am I not? So I thought, okay, I'll walk through the door. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that, that you're really experiencing that. But I want you to know that God has a plan for your life and that he wants to do great things. So then she's looking at me like, who is this guy? And then this is the craziest part. I don't know if this has ever happened to someone I haven't known. Maybe it has. I felt led to grab her arm and pray for cashier Price Chopper. And I was like, okay, are you serious? Come on, Holy Spirit, give me a break. Just kidding. I thought, okay, I got to jump on it. So I did it. I went in, boom, I grabbed her arm. God, I want to thank you for this cashier. I thank you that you love her and that she's truly not alone and what she's experiencing you can meet. I pray that she doesn't have a relationship with you. She would find you. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Thank heavens there was no one else coming up behind me. Got done. She's looking at me with this stunned look like, who is the freak in my line? Get out of here. And I thought, I just wanted to tell you and said that God loves you and he has not left you alone. So I walk out of Price Chopper, totally different relationship with the Lord in that moment, walking through obedience, having the peace of God. I did what I was supposed to do. And this is not a joke. I cannot pick out that cashier out of everybody that's at Price Chopper. Every time she sees me come in, she probably goes on break, hoping that this guy doesn't come through my line. But I cannot find that woman. I would love to see what's happening with their dad. Two radically different experiences. One where I was disobedient. One where I was obedient. Radically different results. Two opportunities. When was the last time you had an opportunity to share and you didn't? You blew it. When was the last time you walked through the door and you saw God work? We're all faced with those moments. Obedience, the presence of God in a real way. I trust in that moment that that woman in particular experienced an authentic presence of God that possibly she hadn't known before, that she knows that he loves her. And the blessing that goes with it, which is the peace of God in my life because I was obedient, which leads us to the conclusion of this time with Jesus talking with his disciples, verses 27 through 29. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place so that when it does take place, you may believe. Jesus was telling them not to be afraid, that they were not going to be alone. And he's admitting that he understands his disciples are worried because they can't grasp what he's saying about the death and resurrection that he was about to experience. But he was telling them, in spite of their incredible grief, he was coming again and he was going to make himself known to them and the Holy Spirit would be with them from that point. Trust me, you'll remember what I said. He was telling them because when all this happens, you will never doubt me again. He finishes by telling them one more important thing in verses 30 to 31. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. It's meant to encourage them in their sense of aloneness and what they were about to experience. What was about to happen to Jesus was fully under his control, and he was setting out to accomplish the Father's will. And while evil thought it would win, it wouldn't. We are called to a life of obedience when we obey. And when we do, we experience the very presence of God. In the presence of God, we're never alone, no matter what our feelings tell us. All right, here we go. You ready to write? It's going to be fast, and the action points are with it. Number one, first, Jesus promises a helper forever, the Holy Spirit, who is absolutely our greatest gift. He promises in these verses, along with Hebrews 13, 5 to 6, and several other places, that he will never leave true followers of Jesus. Once you've surrendered your life, we are never alone again, and we're called to a life of obedience as we walk with Jesus. The Holy Spirit enables us to obey the commands because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our flesh. And we'll call those things to our minds as we experience them. Okay, practical point number one, action step. To live by the truth that even when you feel alone, to remember that you are not. And if that means for you, if you deal with that, write some of these verses on note cards. Stick them to your mirror in your bathroom. Stick them all over the house. Put them on your steering wheel. Do not read it when you're driving, but put it on your steering wheel. And remember that he loves you and that the truth is that you are not alone in him, even though you may feel it. And 1 John 4:18, that you don't have to fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. Fear of the greater, our God, overwhelms the fear of the lesser. Fear has to do with punishment. For whoever does that has not been perfected in love. We are perfected in love when we keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Number two, verse 16, where does the Holy Spirit reside? In us. Verse 20, where does Jesus reside? In us. Verse 23, where does the Father reside? In us. In the lives of Jesus' followers. So how in the world can we be alone if the full personality of God is in us? We can't be. And here's the mind-blowing point. Jesus promises a home for God, and that home is in us, his followers. So here's the action. Make time with God a priority. Spend time reading and studying his word. Spend time in prayer. Share your faith. Spend time in authentic relationship with other believers. Let's stop the mirage of coming in and how's everything? It's okay. And allowing Sundays to fly away with that opportunity to actually share what God's doing in our lives. Get in relationships with believers outside of this building and share what's going on and pray for each other, minister to each other, be the body, and look for opportunities reminding us the truths that God has told us, that we are overcomers in him. And so walking with him, we can experience his peace and hope and share that with others, taking our eyes off of ourselves and being able to walk into Price Chopper and recognize there's somebody in need. Finally, number three, Jesus promises hope in trouble. Verse 27, not as the world gives, I give you. Jesus was then promising his peace just hours before his crucifixion. Speaking of his peace that he was going to share was available in spite of circumstances and feelings, only a peace that God can give. So here's the final action point for today. Some of you are in this room today and you are walking with God. Things are going great. You walk in, you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as you're navigating life. You're following him, you're responding, and God's doing great things. Some, however, in this room are gripped with fear. Fear of uncertainty, fear of kids wandering away from God, fear for a spouse, fear for parents who are aging, not knowing what's coming next, fear of uncertainty in our world, in our country, and you're gripped with it. God desires today that you cry out to him, and he already knows your fears. He knows every hair on your head. They're all numbered. He's challenging you. Cry out to him. Tell him and ask for his peace. Some of you in this room are buried in sin. To be honest, you're in your eyeballs up to it, and you haven't shared with anybody because you're afraid of the rejection that you're going to face if you share with another believer. Cry out to God. Confess, repent, ask forgiveness, deal with it. and then talk with some of those people who are in authentic relationship with you about where you are and let them encourage and build you up. That is the responsibility of the body as well. Not to grab our spears and our swords and chop somebody's head off because they're struggling with sin. We all wrestle and deal with it. So let's stop kidding ourselves and pointing a finger and getting after somebody because they're in sin. Let's get the eyes right here. Let's look in the mirror first. Deal with our sin and then love people the way God has called us to. And it's encouragement and hope and speaking truth. And no matter what, walking through the drudgery in the pit with them to help them. That's brothers and sisters in Jesus, right? Deal with the sin. If you're in this room today and you've not yet found Jesus, you've never experienced the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, you are lost. You're lost. There it is. That's truth. And the reason you're in this room today is because God is calling you. He's calling you. And he wants you to find him now.